You know, I looked at the pastor's name of his sermon. I think he's directing it at me. Okay. Then I think I did a sermon once called Childish, and now it's Grow Up. Our scripture reading, Philippians 4, 13, New King James Version says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Those who can kneel with me will pray. Father in heaven, I first ask for forgiveness individually and communally then for that we have stepped out in our own way and not followed your path. And Father, I want to praise you for the experience that we've had this morning with the baptisms, that we know heaven was rejoicing and singing, and we saw glimpses of that bright light, and if you listened, I think you could hear them sing. And we praise you for your Spirit's work in this congregation, and both young and old. And Father, I pray for the pastor and his word that you have impressed him to speak about, that we'll recognize it as your words, that it will have impact on our lives to draw us closer to you, which is the only way. And I thank you for life and the freedoms that we have. And I thank you for this church. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
He'll play it. I asked him before, and he's played several things I mentioned. Okay, see that little circle I made? I just want you to know that my memory is not as sharp as it used to be. Also, my memory is not as sharp as it used to be.
You already said that once.
How old would you be if you didn't know how old you are? A lot younger, right? At least not my case. A lot younger. Remember, old folks have a fortune. Silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs. A young heart one time shared this. Preacher came to call on me the other day. He said, at my age, I should be thinking about the hereafter. I told him, oh, I do that all the time. No matter where I am, in the living room, upstairs, in the kitchen, down the basement, I ask myself, now, what am I here after? Sorry. I feel like my body's gotten totally out of shape. So I got the permission from the doctor to join a fitness club and start exercising. I decided to take aerobics class for seniors. I bent, twisted, gyrated, jumped up and down, suspired for an hour, but by the time I got my leotards on, the class was over. Really now, there is no choice involved in getting older. We have no choice. Our challenge is the choice of whether or not to grow up. It was Jesus who said, Who of you, by worrying, can add one inch to your height or subtract one day from your age? In other words, don't waste time about worrying about how old you are getting. Age is a matter of fact. We just have to accept it. Maturity, on the other hand, is a matter of choice. I'm becoming more mature. That is on the top of the list of God's agenda for every one of us, to become more mature. Repeatedly, he mentions in his book, as a result, we no longer are to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, trickery, deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. Another one. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. One more. But solid food is for who? The mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Because of practice. It doesn't come naturally to discern good from evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works or the faith toward God. Let's face it, you and I are growing older. I know you know I am, but you are too. We're growing older. That's automatic. But that does not necessarily mean that we're growing up. Of course, it will not happen, until we have a control of our attitude, which turns us in the right direction. We might just ask the question, what is maturity? What is maturity? To be mature is to be fully developed, complete, and grown up. Becoming mature is a process of constantly moving towards emotional and spiritual adulthood. In that process, we leave childish things and adolescent habits and adopt a lifestyle where we are fully responsible for our own decisions, fully responsible for our own motives, fully responsible for our own actions and our own consequences. We own them. When it comes to maturity, we never really arrive. We are always in the process of moving toward that objective, however. When it comes to maturity, good choices replace bad ones. How is maturity expressed? Well, here are a few of the things I found that I want to share with you. How maturity is expressed. Number one, our concern for others outweighs our concerns for ourselves. Number two, when we detect the presence of evil or danger before it's obvious. Number three, when we not only understand a task, but we also have the fortune to stay at it until it's done. And number four, when we have the ability to grow spiritually by independent intake of God's word. These are four that I found. I found several, but these four I really liked. And there's one other one. Maturity is ability to do a job whether you're supervised or not. Finish a job once it's started, carry money without spending it, and last, but not least, the ability to bear an injustice without wanting to get even. Wow. That's a biggie. I mean, I know I know some people in their 50s, anytime something happens to them, they want to get even. That's not maturity. He may be 50, grown up in age, but he's not mature because he wants to get even. No problem. In fact, the fact is, if we maintain the right attitude, we're able to rejoice as the process takes place in getting to more maturity. We can rejoice even while we're moving in that direction. And that's what's so exciting about Paul's word in Philippians. We're back on Philippians again. I haven't left it. Throughout the letter, he has continued to emphasize and continue to encourage outrageous joy in spite of difficult circumstances, all because of Jesus. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern in me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Who said this? Yeah. Would you believe a 60-plus-year-old Jew chained to a Roman guard under house arrest said that? Not knowing if tomorrow he would be killed or brought to court or set free? Though getting up in years, he was rejoicing. Though without the comforts of home and the privileges of privacy, he was happy. Though he doesn't have a clue regarding his future, he is smiling at life. Though he is set aside, forced to stay in one place, completely removed from the excitement of a broader ministry, he is still rejoicing no matter what happens to him. Paul refused to be caught up in the grip of pessimism. There are at least four characteristics of maturity that I find in Paul's life. It's probably more, but there's four of them I want to share with you. Number one, he is affirming. He's affirming. He says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have reviewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity." Don't miss the details here. When Paul says you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity, he means that they wanted to send an offering to him earlier, but they either didn't know where he was, or they didn't have the ability to get it to him at the time. Usually it's the other way around. We have an opportunity to send support, but we don't do it. We appreciate what people do, but we affirm them who they are. Think about that. We appreciate what people do. We thank them. But we affirm them who they are. When we say thank you to someone who completes a task, we are expressing our appreciation. It's good. But when we acknowledge and express our gratitude for what others are in character, in motive, in heart, we are affirming them personally. We're lifting them up. A mark of maturity is the ability to affirm and build up one another, not just appreciate what they do. Number two, Paul was not only affirming, he was content. Content. Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I think I'm still growing. As valuable as affirmation may be, maturity is never more obvious than when an individual shows contentment. And no one was a better model than Paul, who learned to be content regardless of his situation. He was always content. To Paul, it made no difference whether he was freed or bound to a soldier. It didn't bother him. He was content. Whether the day was hot or humid or bleak or frigid, whether Philippians sent a gift or failed to make contact. Talk about maturity. It's incredible. Some people are like thermostats, you know. They merely register what is around them. If the situation is too tight and pressurized, they register tension and irritability. If it's stormy, they register worry and fear. If it's calm, it's quiet and comfortable. They register relaxation and peacefulness. And you might be thinking, I wish I had that commitment, that contentment gift. Don't you wish you had that contentment gift? But wait. Contentment is not a gift. Contentment is not a gift. It is a learned trait. Look back up there. Paul says, for I have learned to be content. Wow. Soldiers, when put in prison during the Vietnam War, learned to be content. Otherwise, they couldn't survive. They accepted the circumstances, and they were content. In Greek, content does not mean I don't care what happens. I'll just remain indifferent, numb. That's not contentment. No, the term suggests self-sufficient. It means being at peace in Christ's sufficiency. Paul was convinced that Christ was in the midst of every day pouring in him his power. No matter what the circumstance, pouring in him his power. When we believe that anything is bearable, nothing then gets out of control. Number three, he was flexible. Paul was flexible. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. Wow. I can remember when I was hungry. I'm sure a lot of you can. Before I ever went to college, I decided to go sell books. Utah, door-to-door, Christian books. I couldn't sell the shirt off my back. I had a jar of peanut butter in the cupboard. I ate a spoon of peanut butter every day, and that's all I had for a week. But I was excited doing the Lord's work. I was totally excited doing the Lord's work. Sometimes your mind doesn't work too good. You know, I can remember going out, and I remember selling a couple of health magazines for 25 cents each, had 50 cents. Man, I went straight to the store, let me tell you. Straight to the grocery store to buy something to eat. What do you think I bought? Candy bars. Yes. That was not the good decision. Not a good decision at all. I didn't feel too good after that. But Paul was content. Paul was always content. Well fed. I mean, Paul didn't feel uneasy if he was in a penthouse enjoying delicious meals in abundance. You know? He didn't feel ticked off because he was on the street sleeping under the bridge with a growling stomach. Paul was content. Mature men and women can handle without disturbing their spiritual or emotional equilibrium. They can handle anything. And add to this, we are to be willing to rejoice with those who rejoice, as well as we are to be able to weep with those that weep. Romans 12:15. Number four. Maturity is shown in Paul because he was confident. He was confident. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. Wow. He was confident. Paul was sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, if you please. The Living Bible puts it this way. I can do anything God asked me to with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. Wow. No statement in Scripture speaks more clearly of an indwelling Christ in us. Our Savior not only lives within His people, but He also constantly is pouring His power into us, and we've got to understand that and accept it, no matter what conditions are around us. He gives us the power, the strength to be content if we accept it and put trust in Him. And that alone is enough to make us content. Substitute Christ. Just take the word Christ out of this word, if you wish, and the statement always fails. Always. For instance, I can do all things through drugs. No. Can I hear it? No. Okay. I can do all things through education. I can do all things through money. I can do all things through success. I can do all things through friends. I can do all things through positive thinking. Fails every time, doesn't it? Every time. Nothing else fits but Jesus. I can do all things through Jesus, and that should give us contentment. Four qualities of Paul's maturity in Christ: affirming others, contented regardless of what, flexible, whatever the situation might be, and confident through Christ. I'd like to ask the deacons to pass out the connect cards now. It's our turn. Go ahead and pass out all those great cards that the people are looking forward to, that everyone's going to fill out and hand in. This is your chance to make a decision for Jesus. It's your chance to say what you want to say. It's your chance to request Bible study, or as Conrad says, it's your chance to get baptized. Check it off if you want to get baptized. Yes, connect cards. But you know, not only Paul showed maturity in his own action, but also Paul saw maturity in the Philippians. Let me share a few of those while you're looking on your cards. See if I can back up one. I don't know if I can. Yeah, I did. Okay. First thing he saw was personal compassion amongst the Philippians. He says in Philippians 14 and 15 in chapter 4, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you also, and yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed to Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." Isn't that amazing? Here, Paul, no wonder he is so proud of this church. He's excited. But when he leaves, he has to leave and go on a missionary journey. Oh, I'm sorry. So he endures hardship, disappointments, heartaches, afflictions, and he points out that the Philippians were the only one that gave him support. None of the other churches did, but the Philippians were mature and gave him support. In fact, it was a mark of maturity. They never second-guessed the apostle in his decision to move on. You know, he had to move on. They didn't second guess it. They just supported him. Neither did they judge him when things went well. And neither did they judge him when things didn't go well. They didn't complain when times were hard. And he had no fruit to show for his labor. And when he was unable to stay in touch, they sent their friends to comfort him. What a church. What a church. No wonder he felt such strong affections for the Philippians. But Philippians also demonstrated the maturity under this. Look at the next verses. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once to my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. So financially, they were generous. There's perhaps no finer evidence of maturity. Are you ready? Hang tight. There are no finer evidence of maturity than financial generosity. Wow. I don't want to remind you, but Holly has a parking lot he's trying to pave. Anyway, moving on. When people generously release their treasure to the cause of Christ, it's a sign that they're growing up. Just think about it. Paul needed financial help, no question about it. And because his friends were mature, they responded generously. But they not only showed maturity through personal compassion and financial responsibility and generosity, they also showed maturity through sacrificial commitment. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus, something like that, somewhere in there, what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Wow. As Paul took stock of his situation, he realized that he couldn't have been better taken care of than the way the Philippians were taking care of him. Now it is as if Paul's heart suddenly burst forth with gratitude, burst forth with gratitude as he writes this splendid promise to the Philippians. He says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches in the glory of Christ Jesus." Incredible. He just bursts forth. He says, God is going to bless you because you are a mature people and are continuing to mature. When God is in our hearts of compassion, prompting us to get involved in helping others, when he's in our acts of generosity, honoring our support for those engaged in ministry, and when he is in our strong commitment, using our sacrifices to bless, he does not forget our own needs. Never. It is all so beautiful. All so simple and so right. Take a look at her cards now and look at the back. And my question is, and you may respond as you like, is do you want to move on into maturity? And the question is, may I exhibit maturity through the grace of God by being affirming to others? Can you look around this congregation and affirm everyone? That's a sign of maturity. Yeah, I exhibit maturity by finding myself content no matter what the situation I find myself in. That's a biggie, isn't it? That's a biggie. No matter where you are, no matter what you're struggling with, can you be content in Jesus Christ? And some of us are struggling. May I exhibit maturity by constantly showing flexibility in this yo-yo of life. Yeah, it is a yo-yo life. Ups and downs and ins and outs. It's just, may I show flexibility. And may I exhibit maturity knowing that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Father God, I thank you for the Paul that showed maturity and for the power that Jesus Christ gave him. And I thank you for this church. And I pray this church, this people, your people, myself and my wife, may strive on to more and more maturity in Jesus Christ. We ask in his precious name. Amen.